Imagine twin Earths, each the image of the verdant globe on which we live. Imagine these two worlds forever separated by a limbo of interdimensional space. Identical planets, evolving separately across the millennia. Each witnessing the birth of man, then the dawn of civilization. And finally, the beginning of the age of superheroes. On one world we'll call Earth 2, the superheroes begin to arrive in the early part of the 20th century when a rocket ship brought the star child Kal-El to safety. Kal-El begins his career as Superman in the early days of World War II as the first of the great heroes. Soon he was joined by other heroes, and they joined forces to form the first super team in history, the Justice Society of America. Thus the two worlds knowingly coexist, one inhabited by the familiar Flash, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and other heroes of the Justice League, and the other Earth by the original superheroes. These are the legendary members of the Justice Society.
Welcome to Earth 2 in the Bronze Age, everyone. Thank you again for joining me. This is episode 20, and today we're following up with part 2, the conclusion of the Justice Society crossover with not only the Justice League of America, but also the Legion of Superheroes from the future. At this time, of course, in 78 still? 79? We are in the 30th century, not yet the 31st century. It'll be a while before we get a Legion in the 31st century. So today we have Justice League America number 148, and as the cover says, three villains so mighty it takes 19 heroes to fight them. Let's turn to the inside and let's get going and see how this storyline wraps up. And as we will get in comics from this era, we'll get enough of a recap that gives us enough to know where we are. We don't have to recap ourselves. Even if you missed the last episode, you'll catch on quickly enough. And as I think about it, this is not 78 yet. This has got to be 76 or 77, maybe 77. And, of course, there it is on page 2. It shows me right there. They're going 77. All right, let's get going. Splash page, the roll call for the Justice League on the left side. Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Black Canary on the right side. The JSA roll call, Flash, Jay Garrick, Green Lantern, Alan Scott, Hawkman, Power Girl, and Dr. Fate. What's this? If this story is part of the epic anniversary teaming of the Justice League of America and the Justice Society of America, why isn't a single member of either illustrious team in this splash scene? And why is that demon being attacked instead by the Legion of Superheroes? So the demon we have in the splash is being attacked by Ultra Boy, Lightning Lad, Wildfire, as Sun Boy, Saturn Girl, Brainiac 5, and Shadow Lass look on. The fate of the world rests in those very questions, dear reader, because Earth's past, present, and future are threatened by a crisis in triplicate. Script, Martin Pascoe, with an assist from Paul Levitz, who would have been the Legion writer at the time. You know what, was he? I had to double-check that exactly. I'm pretty sure he was. And he was also, I believe, writing JSA at the time, an All-Star. Art, Dick Dillon and Frank McLaughlin. Color, Anthony Tolan. Lettering, Milt Snappin. Chapter 1. Where have all the heroes gone? Where does one begin to answer that question? Here is as good a place as any, as the nameless, immeasurable void between the ages. The threshold of what we call the time barrier. Mere moments ago, 10 of the greatest heroes of two Earths had faced a fearsome adversary in the 30th century. Now, an unseen force hurls them backward toward their own time, but with Green Arrow and Black Canary left behind. In 2977 AD, it is here that the Emerald Archer and his pretty bird are stranded, the awesome headquarters of the Legion of Superheroes. So, as I said, here's our recap. If you didn't remember what happened last issue, it gives you enough to recall what was going on. And if you missed it entirely for some reason as a reader back then, it gives you enough so that you can jump in and still enjoy the issue without feeling completely lost until the story actually gets going in this issue. And, of course, this is one of those things from the 60s and 70s that they would have, a technique used in the writing is to make sure that readers could pick up almost any issue and have an idea what's going on. I think it's Stan Lee that said, every comic could be someone's first comic. So they can't be lost. I don't believe this is executed as well now as it was, and it might, as it was back then, and it might be something that would help new readers pick up comics, or even readers to new series that might be hearing something good about a series and want to pick it up, but not quite know how to jump in. All right, so here we go. At the Legion headquarters, we have a thought balloon, and it's coming from a Green Arrow, but we can't see it yet. I don't freaking believe this is happening. I've thought about lots of ways of dying, getting snuffed by a killer's bullet, or maybe old age, but I never thought I'd check out like this, smothered by magic sand inside some mystic hourglass, worn like a blasted necklace by a super sorcerer named Mordru. And that's another piece of recapping, that even though you can see they're in the Legion headquarters, you can see Mordru with this hourglass around his neck, and you can see Green Arrow and Black Canary in the sand going under. The Green Arrow's thought balloon allows us to get a recap that is succinct, but it gets you right into the story so you know what's going on. Never thought it'd end like this when me and the others took on the giant hand that broke into our satellite headquarters. Editor's note, previously last issue. And then dragged us into the future, where we learned the hand belonged to an astral projection of Mordru, the Legion's nastiest foe. Holding me and the Canary hostage, Mordru sent our friends to succeed where the Legion had failed, on a quest for the Green Bell of Uthul and Red Jar of Kalathos and the Silver Wheel of Nyarlath, three magical objects that were once in our trophy room, but according to history, were scattered through space when our satellite blew up sometime after the 20th century. After he got on, Mordru used the objects to free three ancient demons whose magical power he wanted. But after they were released from eons of imprisonment, the demons zapped the heroes, doing God knows what with them, and then turned on Mordru too. Talk about frustration. The last thing I'll ever see is Earth about to be conquered by these demons, and I can't do zip about it. Just as these three spellbreakers freed us, says one of the demons. And he's pointing towards the Legion. And here come Wildfire, Lightning Lad, and Ultra Boy. So too can they be used to imprison us anew, but none shall ever do so once we destroy them as only we can. Which is true, which is exactly why you won't get the chance. The use! As one of the Legionnaires converge on the demons joining battle, a battle destined to be painfully brief, the demon Wrath steps forward and with a gesture, callow fools, they under magical shackles to bind them to the walls, so they may not interfere as now we destroy the bell, jar, and wheel. And then it finally happens, what the Justice League had fought so hard to prevent. The demons hurl the bell, jar, and wheel to the floor, and the objects vanish. How now three demons are irrevocably free to walk the earth. Turning eerily, glowing hands on four immobilized Legion of Spirit self he chose to represent him to his foes, where Mordru's body doth repose. Powerless to resist the magical force which compels them, the super teens reluctantly take to the air via their flight rings with Mordru's astral form in tow. Brainy, if we reunite Mordru's spirit with his physical body, what happens to Green Arrow and Black Canary?
I wish I knew, Ultra Boy.
Upward, the figure of Mordru is carried, and the hourglass about his neck is inverted in the process. Huh? The sand falling away from us. Dinah, wake up. Now I've got a fighting chance to get out of this. But just what our two stalwarts will make of what chance must, for the moment, wait. Now Earth belongs to us. We can rule it again. Yes, as we did in before time. Nay, I think not. I have grown weary of our quarrel with humanity, and have seen much goodness in the world the humans have built. Through the millennia, I have watched many generations pass, each with its heroes, men and women of greatness. They brought serenity to this 30th century Earth. It is at peace. I should like to be one with that harmony. And we see the Legion in front of the, Surely mad, Abnegazar. Have you not beheld the wondrous wealth and power this world and this time offer us? Have you not seen the teeming millions that populate us? They can be ours to command, and we can know riches not even we could imagine in the time before time. Nay, nay, I gash, shall we make this planet as it was in the before time, when it was our dominion. I shall drive the moon from the sky, and all humans on this wretched world face would fooled. Now, what they've done, since these demons are awfully similar looking, the different caption boxes of the different demons' narration is in different colors. So we are no longer a united triumvirate, willing to share equally in dominating Earth. Aye, but take care, my comrades. Never before have we warred with one another, and I shudder to complicate the consequences of such an act. I would not fear a war with you, Abnegazar, or you, Wrath. I would welcome it. Come, do your sorcerer's worst against me. It will matter not. I shall have what I covet, nevertheless. A strange altar shimmers into being before the demon called Ghast, and an incantation that was old when the world was new thunders through the chamber. Instantly, the other demons respond in kind. By stars, by sun, by demon light, I bid the mystic flame ignite. Burn my foes with fire bright. Destroy them, drive them from my sight. Three tongues of flame lash out simultaneously, and when the blinding light fades, we are unscathed. Clearly each of us possess equal magic, and our incantations cancel out one another. Thus, if we cannot war amongst ourselves directly, there is but one way we may fight to the death. We must have proxies. Champions! Youthful sinews burst free as the bonds against which they have struggled vanish. A wave of mesmeric force washes over five legionnaires, and like an avenging army, they advance. Garth Rands of the planet Wyneth, attacked by the lightning beasts of Korbel. He gained the power to hurl electricity against his foes as Lightning Lad. Reap Daggle, born of a race of beings who can change shape at will. He came from the planet Durla to join the Legion as Chameleon Boy. Tasmia Mallor from Talak 8, against the benighted souls who serve the cause of evil, she wields the ability to conjure darkness in the guise of Shadowlass. The daughter of King Vox, you know what? I should know Princess Projector's father's name to be able to pronounce it correctly. And V-O-X-V, and now I'm thinking, is it Roman numerals somehow? But O is not a Roman numeral. Is it Vox the Fifth? King Vox the Fifth? Okay, I guess I just don't know that one. That's your homework assignment. Google Princess Projector's father. Of Orando, a planet of mystics, she possesses the power to project realistic illusions and uses her birthright in the name of justice as Princess Projectra. And Drake Burrows of Earth, transformed by an antimatter explosion into the substanceless being of pure energy, given form only by the costume of wildfire. Now they are goaded into action by enchantment. True, but were they to choose for themselves, their course of action would not be different, for now they rally to save a world. Come, legionnaires, ally yourselves with me in the cause of saving the world so beloved by you. Never thought the day I'd see when the Legion takes sides with a billion-year-old demon, but I guess there's a first time for everything. Indeed, and there shall be another precedent set this day. I shall employ the aid of the Justice League, then I shall have my champions too. Fingers the color of fresh wounds play over smoldering braziers. Lips like crumbling parchment rustle in arcane mutterings, and an eldritch summons issues forth to reach beyond the temporal boundaries and intrude into the limbo between the centuries. where last we saw 8 members of the Justice League and its Earth 2 counterpart. We're being returned to our own time. But if that's true, good lord, it means Ollie and Dinah have been stranded in the 30th century. But just then, Great Krypton, we've stopped moving. What's happening to us? Feels like something's got a hold of us. I sense a magical force has laid a hand on us, comrades, and now it pulls us back whence we came. Well, at least now we'll get a shot at rescuing Oliver and Dinah. So this is JSA and JLA being pulled forward in time. It has taken mere seconds for our heroes to be plucked from the time barrier. The Legionnaires are only now beginning to advance on the demons. However, success, I have summoned the Justice League, and I, the Justice Society. The 20th Century Heroes' entrance cuts short the Legionnaires' attack. And no sooner have the young superheroes fallen to the floor unconscious than, by all hell's power, I subjugate the heroes 5 through Dr. Fate. Tezcatlipoca, god of trickery, grant me shrewdness. Boy, I tell you what, those Aztec and Maya names are difficult if you're not used to it. And I just read some Wonder Woman comics a couple weeks ago with that same god in it. Holy cow. This demon's eldritch energy is greater than mine. My magic would be useless against him. I must use the physical strength in my form. Another hastily spoken spell issues from the demon's lips. Aye, it's by your body you can battle me. Thus for the nonce, your body is no more. Still have I need of an agent to work my will upon the Justice Society. And to that task, I now summon the Flash. His power can be used to great advantage. Moving under Raspel, the Flash of Earth 2 races back and forth before the stunned, unblinking eyes of his JSA comrades. Using the afterimages created by his super speed like the pocket watch of a hypnotist to mesmerize the Golden Age heroes. And in moments, why should I care about this 30th century world? If I serve Wrath, I'll have great power. I shall aid Lord Wrath in his conquest of Earth. Can't resist. I'm forced to do what that demon wants. At this instant, elsewhere, in the vast chamber, with this spell, Green Lantern's light will claim for gas those heroes' might. With a magical gesture from the ghast, yellow smoke envelops the Emerald Gladiator, bending him to the demon's evil purpose. Remember Hal Jordan at this time, his only weakness is the color yellow, as are the rest of the members of the contemporary Green Lantern Corps. The smoke dissipates as quickly as it came. There is a flash of stunning green brilliance, and, Great Krypton, I feel as if I'm locked in a vase of ice. Every muscle of my body is under someone else's control. Now, my minions, to war! And so, gentle reader, to answer the question, where have all the heroes gone? They vanished, and in their place stand pawns of the warring demons. And just what that means for our stalwarts, we'll find out in Chapter 2, bursting into view on the next page. Chapter 2, The Battle That Shook the 30th Century. Arise, my useful champions, you must strike against the agents of my fellow demons, lest they lay waste to this entire planet. With magical clarity, the Legion answers Abnegazer's call to action. You've got a point there, Abney, so I'll see to it that this only thing that gets wasted is Soup's reputation. I see you haven't changed, Wildfire. Still a grandstander as ever.
Don't tell me you're still sore because I swiped the Legion leadership out from under you and you were Superboy. Talk about holding a grudge.
The rivalry is still going on in Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. Ironically, I just read an issue of that this morning for pleasure in the first collection of the Superboy and the Legion of the Superheroes hardcover that came out a few years ago. I was given it a reread. The only thing I'm sore about is that you don't seem to realize that I and the JLA are on your side. The only reason we're fighting you guys is that we're in that demon's power. Out in the street, the battle spills into the Avenue of Superheroes, a famed thoroughfare in 30th century Metropolis. Within minutes, the other battling figures have tumbled into the street as well, with their demonic patrons coaching from magically conjured floating platforms. All power that I manipulate now goes to reform Dr. Fate. He'll use all magic known to him to rend his young foes limb from limb. Maybe he can do that, Wrath. but the power is useless if he can't see where to use it, thanks to the darkness I cast over him. And Shadow Lass hits him with her darkness so that Fate can't see anything. He's all covered up. Suddenly, kill the Legion. Nothing must stand in the way of Lord Rask's conquest. That's Alan Scott. While Batman's thinking, strange, the JLA seems to be under physical domination, but our minds still resist what we're forced to do, and yet the JSA seems to be totally brainwashed. Uh-oh, here comes our master. All right, Big Ears, you're the one with all the bright ideas. What's next? Come here and I'll show you. Wait a minute, not even demons can fly under their own power. Kapow. He gets Batman. Neither can I. My power is just a handy-dandy Legion flight ring, worn by that shape-changer. Me, huh? Hey, the statue of Sunboy, it's alive. Not precisely, young one. 'Tis merely magically animated, but 'twill serve my purposes well enough. And the statue of Sunboy that was on the Avenue of Heroes is grabbed. Chameleon Boy, as he was flying in to hit Batman. Observe. Thram! And he throws it to the ground. Bam! Meanwhile, the real gas has appeared on the scene of battle. I am severely outnumbered. Each of my opponents has 5 champions doing his bidding, and yet I only have 3. Why? Ah, now I recall. There are 2 other Justice Leaguers, Green Arrow and Black Canary. I shall dispatch their friend, the Green Lantern, to bring them to me. My lightning bolts are useless against the Green Lantern. He's created a giant lightning rod with his power ring diverting my bolts. Which enables me to take you down. Thud, Hawkman caroms into the back of Lightning Lad. This battle is pretty interesting as mindless carnage goes. But right now you're probably more interested in where Green Lantern's disappearing act will lead him. To find that out, we must jump ahead of his arrival here at Doom Crater, in which rests a strange structure built by alien visitors to Earth. Into the crater, people. Mordru's physical form is locked inside that weird chamber. Special note to Legion lovers. Since the Legion's last battle with Mordru, the Dark Lord escaped his previous prison. He was defeated again, though, and placed in Doom Crater in an as-yet-untold Legion adventure. I'm still worried about Green Arrow and Black Canary. Once we reunite this ectoplasmic incarnation of the Sorcerer with his physical form, they'll be trapped too, and they'll suffocate. But your fears are groundless, Ultra Boy, thanks to the verdant figure materializing on the crater's rim. Great Guardians, Ollie and Dinah are still inside that mini hourglass. Well, I can fix that easily enough. And Hal Jordan has created a ring construct of scissors to cut the hourglass off from around Mordru's neck. Don't know what those Legionnaires would have done with them if Gas hadn't sent me here in time. I don't want to know. What the devil? Giant scissors made of green energy. Oliver, you know what that means. Freaking AI do, Bird Lady, my main man has just sprung us, and the rest is up to me. Even as the hourglass plummets from the airborne Mordru's neck, the archer swiftly draws an arrow from his quiver. And in midair, crash! You shatter the hourglass! You got it, and I'm claiming that lantern's ring power will restore us to normal size and keep us from hitting. Ha ha! Looks like your gamble paid off. In seconds, the couple has alighted beside the ringslinger, who hastily explains his presence, and then, hey, Hal, what in the blue-eyed world are you doing? My whole body feels like somebody starched my skin. Sorry about this, friends, but I can't help myself. My ring hand is moving under the magical power of Ghast, who's forcing me to do this. I'm in his power, and now, so are you. With the speed of thought, the possession is complete. Suddenly, there is a sound of rushing air, and in unison, the 3 bewitched heroes turn to see the Legionnaires descending towards them. Green Lantern, where did he come from? I don't know, but I hope you're satisfied, Ultra Boy. Now that he's freed the Archer and the Canary, you don't have to worry about them anymore. And you and the rest of us have to do is fight them. Since the Green Lantern's power ring works on willpower, I can misdirect its energy if I can concentrate hard enough. Summoning her every erg of her mental energy, Saturn Girl directs a telepathic signal into the Emmer Gladiator's brain, interfering with his concentrating. The result? A power ring backlash, which is drawn as a big fist punching Hal out. Ugh, mental interference deserted my power beam. Saturn Girl's telepathy, no doubt, which means this fight is between us women. Time to put my sonic whammy to use. With that, she clenches her fists, throws back her head, and, with a sound the sirens might have envied, the canary sings. Ah! So much for my ring's malfunction. Hal catches the falling Power Girl with her net. The victory in this battle, Jibber writes, go to the Legionnaires, for how can even these three Justice Leaguers overcome some boy's heat power? Brainiac 5's force field, or Ultra Boy's ultra strength. Only one hand freed. Ugh! Can't rate time! Ugh! How can our stalwarts prevail? Very easily, since the Legion has been at a considerable disadvantage, encumbered by the massive astral form of Mordru. Acting under a long-distance spell from Green Lantern, which completes the mission which had brought them younger heroes to this place, as he uses the energy of his ring to reunite Mordru's spirit self with the flesh and blood counterpart that spawned it. No sooner is the task accomplished than, huh? Look it, we're vanishing. It's Ghast again. He's conjuring us somewhere, probably for our next assignment. What do you think he wants this time? What indeed? For now, the mission must remain a mystery. At the moment, back in Metropolis.
I'm hitting you with everything I've got. You gonna fall or not?
I don't think so, Wildfire. Our powers used to equalize each other, as I recall, so we could keep this up all day. Yeah, you could, but even as I was starting to get bored with it. Thanks, Power Girl, for catching him off guard and giving me the opportunity for this! Wham! I suppose, though, now you want me to do the same. To me? Nah, I don't want to. Yet I will if I'm compelled to. My body's being controlled just as yours is, but I'm resisting mental manipulation. And yet the other JSAers are totally dominated, mind and body. I wonder. Maybe there's a clue. There's somewhere the key to defeat the demons. Huh? Now, before the young ones awaken, I shall banish you to your next destination. And this demon has grabbed Batman and Superman and zapped them elsewhere. For Dr. Fate and his colleague Green Lantern, the destination is far from Metropolis, the Global Tunnel. A man-made tube that passes directly through the center of the Earth. And the tunnel cuts through the Earth's molten core, too. Amazing. Aye, the generator on the tripod projects an energy field which prevents the tunnel walls from collapsing. The interior of this planet is forever being explored by geologists in special Earth's bathyspheres which descend through the tunnel. Now, my comrade, whilst my eldritch energy creates a barrier to cut off the generator's beam, I'll slip under the barrier to pay a visit to the scientists in the tunnel. Excellent, Dr. Fate, excellent. Geolab 77, a recently constructed inner space station, a geological laboratory deep in the peaceful bowels of the Earth, where the 30th century scientists divest Mother Nature of her mysteries. Now, its studious serenity is shattered by a cave-in. It's all rumbling and the Earth is crumbling around it. The tunnel collapsing. The generator must have malfunctioned. We're doomed. No, not yet. Not unless your United Earth government decides to be uncooperative. As Green Lantern holds the bathysphere in captured. 30th century Earth is dumbstruck at the eerie visage that magically cuts in on all 3D TV transmissions. Unless President Kandry surrenders leadership of the Earth to me immediately, the global tunnel will be destroyed and thousands of innocents will die. He laughs. Meanwhile, oh, my head. I
know, mine. If I had one, it would be spinning.
Believe me, my son, I would not have roused you from a consciousness so soon were the need most urgent. Look below, and behold what hateful plan vile wrath has set in motion. It must be stopped. We will do what we can. Come, Wildfire.
Yes, Your Highness.
Eh? What manner of creature is this? Some new breed of demon that inhabits this strange future world?
No, just another of the princess's patented illusions. They're great for distracting opponents.
Ugh! Wildfire zaps Dr. Fate. At that moment, just beyond the tunnel entrance, Power Girl, am I mistaken, or are you the only JSAer who's escaped Raz's magical brainwashing? I guess so. Superman noticed it, too. Maybe it's because I'm younger than the others and have more stamina. So it was easier for me to resist. None of the JLAers are totally mesmerized, probably for the same reason. I'm getting an idea, but we've got to keep it secret. We can't even let the Legion in on it. Listen. Now, in most stories, the plan would be revealed here, but in this epic, folks, you'll just have to make yourself comfortable on the edge of your seat. He's unconscious, so his magical barrier should be gone.
Watch them while I make sure the generator's working properly. Then I'll lend into the geolab.
Inside the tunnel. Huh? The walls, they've stopped falling.
That's right, fella. On the other hand, you are just starting to.
And Wildfire zaps Alan Scott with a blast from his visor. While above, Green Lantern now his ring employs. And with it, yon device destroys. Yes, yes, destroy. No, Wrath, I will not permit it. And Power Girl grabs Green Lantern around the neck with her arm. Unless my ring is directly controlled by gas, as it was when it enchanted Oliver and Dinah, it does what I want it to, since it works by my will. And since my free will is the one thing gas is not controlling, my apparent compliance with the order he's given me is an act. Power Girl and I have to make this fight look convincing, and hope it buys enough time for... Thoom! Then he throws Power Girl off him. For what? Why, this, of course. Must destroy the generator. No, it must be used to blackmail Earth into making Wrath its ruler.
Huh? The other Green Lantern and Power Girl, fighting over the generator. Only one of them will win, but either way, they'll undo all the work Projector and I just finished, so...
He fires a blast at both of them. A searing burst of yellow energy slams into the battling heroes, with thankfully devastating results. Why, thankfully? Listen to the last words escape the Emerald Gladiator's lips before he slips into unconsciousness. Thanks, PG. You played your scene beautifully. If the others can keep fooling the demons, Earth has a chance. Curse Abnegazagar and Wrath. Their pawns have defeated my ancient the Green Lantern of Earth 1, and I have missed my opportunity to destroy the humans here. But it matters not, for already Superman and Batman are setting in motion the forces that will wipe the planet clean of human vermin. Forces which not all the heroes of this galaxy could avert. The other Justice League members are being conjured to join Superman and Batman at this very moment. And once Green Lantern regains consciousness, so will he. Had gas remained but a moment longer, he might have made a fateful discovery that throughout the battle we've just witnessed, a communications channel among the JLAers was open. Thanks to Green Lantern's JLA signal device. Hal? Hal? Come in, Hal. Over. And every word of the Emerald Gladiator's discussion with Power Girl was overheard. No answer. He's probably unconscious, but I think we've heard enough. Enough to confirm my suspicions, at least. Apparently, gas didn't make his spell powerful enough. And since Wrath was successful in brainwashing the JSA, gas has obviously just decontrolled us the same way. GL had the right idea. Using whatever advantage, having our free will intact, may give us... and throwing the fight. But let's take it one step further. Just stalling for enough time to allow the Legion to clobber us is too passive a plan for me. As the two arrive at Green Arrow and Black Canary's location. Yeah, besides, where's the heroism letting a bunch of punk kids beat on us? I was less concerned about our image, Oliver, than the fact that the bell, jar, and wheel have been destroyed. We've still got to find some way to defeat the demons. Without letting gas get hit, how he hasn't done a number on our heads, or else he'll compensate for his mistake.
Precisely.
Wait a minute. We've been forgetting how we got into this demon pawn thing in the first place. The demons thought their own magic abilities would cancel each other's. So they took champions. Think one superhero could defeat another. That may or not be true, but suppose the superhero group's power were equal too. Suppose that after we were... defeated, there was a stalemate between the Legion and the JSA. Wouldn't the demons then have to take their battle back into their own hands? Wouldn't they have to risk finding out for sure if their magic really is mutually exclusive?
Especially if we make sure there's a stalemate.
Dinah, you're beautiful. How will the Canary's idea help defeat the demons? Obviously, the fellows have thought of something we haven't. What that is must remain a mystery for a while, though, because right now, jeez, and here comes Freak Face.
Snap to it, people. We were supposed to be busy destroying Ice City.
And we better start looking busy.
Ice City, exactly what the name implies. A minor megalopolis built entirely of ice, carved, in fact, from the Antarctic ice cap. A most fragile site for the last battlefield in this three-way struggle for dominion of the Earth. Chapter 3. Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. In minutes, the climactic battle begins as after Batman,
After depositing Batman before the city gates, Superman flies over the icy wasteland. Good, Superman, good. Use your heat vision as I ordered to melt the polar ice cap. Huge glaciers will sweep down over Earth, creating a new ice age. And then when that ice melts, Earth will be a barren land as it was in the before time, with no humans marring its a steel, sterile surface. Not if I can help it, Buster, because you may be magically pushing my body around, but my mind controls the intensity of the heat vision, so I'll fake it till the Legion arrives and use low heat so the damage isn't too great. Eh? Hurry, Wildfire, my shadow can only blind him for seconds before he uses his X-ray vision to see through it.
Gotcha, Shady.
Huh?
That's it? My triple-barreled attack took him out? I'd have thought Superman had more fight left in him.
Of course I do, Wildfire, but using it would be only defeat my purpose. If Gas is gullible enough to believe I'm down for the count and doesn't think he can do anything about it, who am I to argue with him? While Superman's battle has been taking place, Green Arrow and Black Canary have been making their way into the city despite resistance from guards. Resistance overcome primarily by the Batman. Got to be careful with this maneuver. One false move and I could accidentally set this thing off. What is that thing anyway? A 30th century bomb of some kind. Gave it telepathic instruction to blow up Ice City as a backup to Superman's attack. Wish I could figure out how to avoid actually planting it, though. Good God, it's on fire. Can't hold it. Suddenly, the bomb is plucked from the Cowl Crusader's grasp by a giant swooping bird. Projectra, then that flame was only an illusion. Exactly, to allow me, Chameleon Boy, to swipe the bomb. Well, a few yards away. Jolts! Do not gape at it. Retrieve it. At the cost of your lives as necessary, attack them. Hurry, Cam. Dismantle that bomb. I can take care of these three with low voltage current to stun them into unconsciousness. And Lightning Lad is able to down Black Canary, Green Arrow, and Batman. Meanwhile, Wrath and his JSA pawns have appeared outside the city. Excellent. The trench Flash is digging with his feet will collect the water from the melting ice cap, keeping it at the ready so that I can unleash the torrent if Earth refuses to make me its ruler. Eh? Princess Projectra here, too. Water in the trench. He's throwing it back into ice. No, Flash Fool. It's only an illusion. Then why am I sliding? Because it's real, thinks Superman as he uses his freeze breath. I'm freezing the water with my super cold breath, and I'll keep on doing it until Projectra and Flash seem to have reached an impasse. Amazing, I'm actually freezing the water. And the Gezar's doing somehow, thinks Projectra. No use, as fast as the water is contained, she freezes it. We're getting nowhere this way. At that moment, high over Ice City, I'm taking that explosive, Chameleon Boy, as a weapon for Lord Wrath's extortion of the Earth. Good thing Lightning Lad's electroshock only dazed us thanks to the insulation on our rubber boot soles. Now I can use my sonic power to detonate the bomb high in the air, harmlessly, thinks Black Canary. The bomb! You caused it to go off! I'll kill you for that! But Chameleon Boy swiftly assumes the shape of Hawkman himself. And how does the struggle between opponents of identical height build and strength end? In a draw. Meanwhile, Amnagazar appears to confront a thwarted and enraged Wrath.
Stalemate, Wrath! Your pawns and mine are powerless against each other, but in seconds shadow lasts. Lightning Lad and Wildfire break the deadlock, and you shall be thwarted.
No, for sure. 'Twas you who said our magic was mutually exclusive, Abnegazar. And 'tis possible you lied. Let us see if we are indeed powerless against one another.
Wrath funnels all his eldritch energy into the onslaught, forcing him to surrender his hold on the Justice Society pawns. Thus, at the global tunnel, lo, I awaken, and I am free of the mystic grip which held me. 'Tis time to rouse my compatriots that we may confront our oppressor and see justice done. No one knows what would happen if an irresistible force met an immovable object. One theory holds that both force and object would be annihilated. Sure, Fate is soon to learn the validity of that theory, for as he approaches, the demons begin to glow white-hot, growing brighter with each volley of supernatural force, until finally they explode, and the masked mystic is caught in the blast. Just as we hoped, the demons attacked, or each other, or almost. We thought Gas would be canceled out as well, but 2 out of 3 isn't bad. Dr. Fate, are you right?
Quite, Superman. In fact, more so. I feel stronger somehow.
But he took the worst of the explosion. Look at that glow. What do you think?
I certainly do. And if my understanding of how magic works is accurate,
that I know how to overcome gas.
So do I, folks. Here's the plan.
Hastily, a game plan is outlined in seconds. Quick, before he can speak another incantation. Hit him.
No, you cannot be. You have been overcome.
While below, Dr. Fate glows even brighter, working his most ambitious spell ever. And suddenly in response, strange, gleaming shapes rush through the void toward Earth as if pulled by a magnet. From countless light years away, they hurtle across the depths of space, strange fragments of metal drawn toward a single destination 22,300 miles above Earth as if a sense of purpose. At first, they seem harmless to the demon, random pieces of space debris, but soon gas is filled with a terrible intimation of their power.
No, no, not that.
The demon's inhuman eyes widen in terror as the space scrap converges on him, taking shape, imprisoning him. That's when he recognizes the shape, when he screams. Lord, how he screams, for he realizes that this cosmic flotsam and jetsam has reformed the Justice League satellite.
No!
Even on Earth, the heroes hear it, that scream, and in the hard-won silence that follows, they realize there was never a peace more thankful.
It's over.
The very Earth itself seems to breathe a sigh of relief, and well it might, for this day it has come within an inch of its life.
A brilliant plan, Justice League, I salute you. Couldn't have done it without you, Doctor. Since you absorbed the magical energy released when the first two demons were destroyed, temporarily boosting your own capabilities. Still, to have realized that the only place that contained gas was a place that bore the magical residue of the bell, jar, and wheel, the object's last known resting place, the satellite.
Aye, brilliant. There was much work completed in the hour. Damage repaired, panic assuaged, comrades revived, and most important, bruised bodies and friendships healed.
No hard feelings, then?
Of course not, Superman. None of us were responsible for our actions. Not completely, at least.
Responds Wildfire. Well, all I gotta say, it was a real trip visiting the 30th century. I wish we could have found out what happened to the satellite. We'll never know, Ollie. Sorry about that. But we'll have to hit you with a ring-powered post-hypnotic suggestion, causing us to forget our knowledge of all aspects of this time that relate to our personal own futures. And somehow, I don't think I'm going to mind reading this experience. With that, Superman heads for the time barrier, bearing 9 brightly guarded figures back to that era that invented superheroes, where each of the greatest heroes of two worlds will return to their respective worlds with only vague recollections eased somewhat by the contentment that comes with a job well done. The end. Wow. I gotta say, some of these Justice League issues in this era, for a while it was a longer book, so that's been 2 issues of 34 pages each. And that's a pretty long crossover. That ends up being almost 4 full issues of crossover, as opposed to just 2 or sometimes 3 that we've come to expect. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was a pretty long one, pretty intense. Though it's awfully nice seeing the Legion show up in the crossover. I think I said it last time. The Legion is one of my other favorite books. Concepts, characters. It's the characters. It's not just the concept. It's the characters that matter. Okay. Well, next time on the next episode, episode 21, we'll get back to All-Star Comics and get to the next chapter in the Justice Society's adventures. All right. Thanks for joining me. Now go read some comics.